It's a pleasure to be back again with you in Kennaway, and we look to the Lord for his help and his blessing on the preaching of the gospel this evening. Let's turn to three short passages in our Bible. The first of them is in Romans chapter 3, and these are all very well-known passages of Holy Scripture. Romans chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading at verse number 19. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A few pages over to chapter 10, please. Romans again, chapter number 10, for a few verses this time. Romans 10, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, final reading in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, just the previous book of our Bible. Chapter 15 and verse number 6. Beginning the reading, verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Verse 9 again reminds us that God has put no difference between us and them. Now we trust that God will bless to our hearts the public reading of Holy Scripture. These are all well-known passages, and I'm sure you've heard them read and spoken from on many occasions. And I want just to draw your attention to the recurrence of that little phrase, there is no difference. We live in a world where people make distinctions. There's different classes, different castes, different standards of living. And people like to compare themselves with other people, and they think they're really one stroke ahead. Now, the Bible is just in disagreement with that completely. The Bible is telling us, and we'll see it in these three passages, there is no difference. You may have noticed that in chapter 3, first of all, we read these words, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me give you a caption to put over that passage of the Bible. There is no difference as to the need of salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's no difference as to the need of salvation. Your need is exactly the same as my need. There is just no difference between us. There's no difference as to the need of salvation. The second passage that we read from in Romans chapter 10 tells us that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. What a wonderful message is the message of the Bible. God is interested in all of us. No one's excluded. No one is cast out. No one is turned away. The Lord Jesus gave the promise that no one would ever be cast away if they turn to him in true repentance. So there's no difference as to the offer of salvation, is our caption this time. No difference as to the need of salvation in chapter 3. No difference as to the offer of salvation in Romans chapter 10. Whether it's the Jew or the Greek, there is no difference. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. But in the final passage that we read from in Acts chapter 15, God has made choice among us, says Peter, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. For there is no difference. And of course, the emphasis and the caption we want to put in that particular passage is, there is no difference as to the means of salvation. Each one of us must be saved in exactly the same way. You can't get saved in a different way from your neighbor. Salvation is something that is true in the experience of every one of us, but we must come the same way. It's through faith in our Lord Jesus. So just to gather up these three thoughts by way of introduction, Romans 3, there's no difference as to the need of salvation. Romans 10, there's no difference as to the offer of salvation. Acts chapter 15, there is no difference as to the way or the means of salvation. It's common to all of us. So let's think of these three passages together just for a short time this Sunday evening. I'm sure that many of you remember our brother Robert Walker from Aberdeen. Robert was a favorite preacher of many around the country. He was responsible for marrying my wife and myself. And Robert was well known as a Bible conference speaker and also as a preacher of the gospel. He was an excellent evangelist. And quite often he would turn to the book of Romans and he would read in chapter 1, for example, about people who were sunk in sin, destitute, immoral, idolaters, living an ungodly life. And he showed them these people need to be saved in chapter 1. And he called these people in chapter 1 the man in the gutter, the man who was really sunk in sin, the man who was desperate for something to change his life. And so in chapter 1, it's the man in the gutter. But then in Romans chapter 2, he turned the page and he would say, now in chapter 2, we're thinking of a different kind of man. It's not the man in the gutter. In chapter 2, it's the man on the pavement, the man who is upright and respectable and good living. And Paul has got to say to him, thinkest thou this, O man, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You think because you're living a moral life, an upright life, a respectable life, you think you're different? No, there's no such thing. There is no difference. Whether you're the man in the gutter or the man in the pavement makes no difference at all. Our need is equal, just the same. But in the third chapter, Romans chapter 3, he would highlight there's a different man again. It's not the man in the gutter in chapter 3. And it's not the man in the pavement, a respectable, good-living, moral, upright man in chapter 3. In chapter 3, it's a man in the pavement with a Bible under his arm. A man who was deeply religious, who turned to the law of God and lived his life according to the law of God in the Bible. And you know, the wonderful thing is this. Paul sums up these three chapters, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Whether you're the man in the gutter, or whether you're the man in the pavement, or whether you're the man in the pavement with a Bible under your arm, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what we're thinking of this evening. There is just no difference. Every one of us are on a common platform, and every one of us have a personal need of the Lord Jesus. And of course, this is something that is practical and searching and challenging to all of our lives. Let me give you an illustration of what we're thinking about. Could you imagine going along to the swimming pool? And of course, if you're like me, you'll be a bit timorous. When I get into the swimming pool, I always look for the shallow end of the swimming pool, and I always go down backwards, down the steps, gingerly taking my time to get into the water. But you're a lot braver than what I am, and you jump in at the deep end. Now, the point is, we're both in the water. There's no difference, is there, really? You're in it deeper than I am, but there's no difference. We're both in the water. And that is just what I want to illustrate this evening. There may be people in this town, in Kennaway, who you look at as being big sinners. And you think, thank God I'm not like these people. And you think you're so much better. There's so much less sin in your life than there is in theirs. But we're both in it. You see, there's no difference, the Bible says. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're black or white, whether you're religious or an infidel, whether you go to church or whether you don't, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't compare yourself with other people. In the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he thinks about this, and he talks about people who compare themselves with themselves and measure themselves amongst themselves. And the conclusion he comes to is this: they're not wise. That's not a wise thing to do. And yet it's natural, it's human, it's just what we do. We compare ourselves with other people. And the amazing thing is we can always find someone who is worse than we are. For many years, I used to visit a man in Perth prison. I think for 18 years, I visited him every week in life. He was serving life for murder, an old lady in the outskirts of Glasgow. And he was serving a life sentence for murder. And you know, he was really sunk in sin. He was a man who was really in the gutter. But in the cell right next door to him was a man called Hamilton. And this man was in for serious sexual crimes. And you know, I often used to speak to John, the chap I was visiting, and I would say, do you ever speak to the chap Hamilton next door? Oh, him? Scum of society. Here was a man serving a life sentence for murder, and he thought this man next door was so different from him that he wouldn't even speak to him. Now, that's just an example. We can always find somebody that we think is worse than we are. Maybe you're like that. You compare your life with other people, and you think, thank God I'm not like them. Listen, dear friends, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, without exception. So whether you're right up to the neck, or whether you're just paddling about in the shallows, we're all in it. We're all sinners, and we all need salvation. There is no difference. That little word "all" occurs twice in our passage. It's not a very big word, only three letters, but it's very embracive. It includes every human being. It includes everybody in this room this evening. We read in verse 19, all the world is guilty before God. All the world, not some of the world, not even most of the world, but all of the world is guilty before God. How searching that really is to our hearts this Sunday evening. So, dear friends, we are all guilty. And the verse that we read in verse 23 uses the word "all" again. It tells us quite clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we urge you this evening to turn away from your own ideas and turn away from the ideas of men that you hear propagated so widely around the country. And just focus on what God says in the Bible. His book is reliable. And it says, all the world is guilty before God. And it says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might try and worm your way out of these situations. You might think, yes, we're all sinners, but we're not as bad as some people are. Now, you can't do that, dear friends. You must be willing to accept clearly and simply what the Bible teaches. The plain, bald facts are that we're all sinners and we need God's salvation. We sometimes use an illustration of two people sitting an examination. Let's imagine that Gordon here and I are going in to sit an examination. And there's a job at the end. The person that gets the highest marks will get this job. So, of course, I go in and I try my hardest. And 50 is the pass mark and I don't do very well. I get 5 out of 100. Gordon's laughing up his sleeves. He thinks to himself, dear me, John's made a mess of this exam. He's only scored 5 out of 100. He's a failure. So Gordon's turn comes and he goes up to sign for the exam and he does his very best and he's looking over his shoulder and he's quite confident and he gets his results all right, 49 out of 100. 49 out of 100. He's still a failure. I'm a bigger failure than he is, but we're both failures. There's no difference. And it's just like that as far as you and I are concerned with God. We've come to his standards and we find that we've fallen short. And I'm sure you realize you're oftentimes short of your own standards, far less God's standards. But the Bible teaches that all the world is guilty before God. All the world has sinned, and every one of us, there is no difference. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then, we read there in Romans chapter 10 that there is no difference, secondly, as to the offer of salvation. Romans chapter 10 reminds us very clearly that God is interested in every one of us. And he says in that passage there, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we emphasize that in chapter 10, there is no difference as to the offer of salvation. Every one of us are loved by God. God's love embraces every human being. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Dear friends, that's something very important, really challenging to our hearts and lives. We need salvation, and there's no difference as to the offer of salvation. I know that sometimes at school, the teachers get blamed for having a teacher's pet. Someone in the class who's the favorite, the best boy, the best girl, and they get the attention from the teacher. They're the teacher's pet. Well, I want to tell you that God has no pets. There's no one to whom God is prejudiced. There's no one to whom he is partial. He's interested in every one of us. And we sometimes sing the hymns, that grand word, whosoever, is ringing through my soul. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever just means anyone, everyone without exception, all of us individually. We are really in need of salvation. And this word, whosoever, is the wonderful message of the offer of salvation. I wonder if you have ever received the offer of salvation. I wonder if you personally availed yourself of it. We read these words in Romans chapter 12. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means me better than my name. Anyone, everyone, is not that the same? Believing is salvation. And so on. I've forgotten the rest of the words, but the message of that little gospel hymn is whosoever, the message embraces every individual without exception. And in our gospel meeting tonight, there is not one living soul who's exempt from the offer of God's salvation. I wonder if you've really personally availed yourself of that offer. That grand word, whosoever, is ringing through my soul. Whosoever will may come. I wonder if you're willing to come this evening. The offer is being made to each one of you individually, but you have a responsibility to respond to that offer. The fact that God loves you doesn't mean that you're a Christian. The fact that God sent his son to die at Calvary doesn't mean that you're saved. You've got to personally avail yourself of the work of Calvary and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so there's no difference as to the need of salvation, but there's secondly no difference as to the offer of salvation. The third passage that we read from is in the book of the Acts, chapter 15. The background to this passage is very interesting. Paul was one of the early preachers of the Lord Jesus in the first century. And he was responsible for preaching the gospel in many parts of Asia Minor and around Palestine and other parts of the Near East. And Paul was a man who believed firmly in the message of the Bible, that salvation was through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But certain professing Christians from Jerusalem came to the church at Antioch, and they disturbed the Christians by teaching that they had to do something more than just place faith in the Lord Jesus. They said that it's salvation plus something else. Salvation means faith in the Lord Jesus plus baptism, or faith in the Lord Jesus plus keeping the law, or faith in the Lord Jesus plus circumcision. And you could add various things. Many people nowadays, they place an emphasis on the plus. Salvation means something plus something. Dear friends, the Bible makes it clear. God has put no difference between us. There was a conference held there in Jerusalem. Peter was there, Paul was there, Barnabas was there. And they concluded at that conference that the only grounds by which a man could be saved was through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith in Christ plus nothing. Not faith plus baptism, not faith plus circumcision, not faith plus law keeping or anything like that. The message of the Bible is God has put no difference between us, purifying our hearts by faith. There's only one way of salvation. There aren't a variety of routes to heaven. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way that leads to heaven. And the Lord Jesus is offering that one way to you this Sunday evening. I wonder if you're willing to accept salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus and come into the blessing of being right with God and being right for all eternity. Story is told about John Wesley. He was conducting a great gospel crusade in an auditorium in the south of England. And there were lots and lots of people, well-to-do, gentry people who were attending his services. And there was one titled lady who had been rather objectionable for many years. She decided she wanted to come and hear the great preacher. So she got a chauffeur to drive her to the convention center where the gospel was being preached. And at the end of the service, the lady was deeply moved. And Mr. Wesley gave an appeal that if anyone was really interested, they could stay behind and talk with the preacher. And this lady had been up in the gallery, and she made her way down through the crowds of people in the auditorium and to the front of the arena. And when she got there, to her dismay, she discovered that the great preacher was already in conversation with another inquirer. And to her horror, it was her coachman that he was speaking to. And she turned to Mr. Wesley and said, "Have I got to get saved in the same way as my coachman?" And Mr. Wesley stood to his feet And he said, titled lady or coachman, it makes no difference. There's only one way of salvation, and it's by faith in Christ. And he quoted the words of our text in Acts chapter 15. And that woman had to humble herself and to admit that there's only one way of salvation. And if she was to be saved, she would need to come in the same way as her coachman. There's only one way of salvation, one means of being right with God. And there is no difference. God is purifying our hearts by faith. It's important to have our hearts made pure. The Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer comes back, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. One who's had their heart made pure through faith in the Lord Jesus. And there is no difference as to the means of salvation. You don't have a choice. You have a decision to make. You either accept what God says, or you take your own route home tonight. I wonder, dear friend, do you appreciate the importance of being right with God? In summarizing our little message to you this Sunday evening, we quote again Romans chapter 3. There's no difference as to the need of salvation, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. Romans 10, no difference as to the offer of salvation. The same God of the Jews is the God of the Gentiles, and he's put no difference between us. And dear friends, there's no difference as to the means of salvation. Titled lady or coachman, God has put no difference between us. There's only one way to God, and it's through faith in our Lord Jesus. May God touch our hearts and bless the public reading of his word this evening. We'll sing a verse of a hymn just in closing. It's number 283. 283. I will go, I cannot stay, from the arms of love away. Oh, for strength of faith to say, Jesus died for me. I am lost, and yet I know earth can never heal my woe. I will rise at once and go. Jesus died for me. Can it be? Oh, can it be there is hope for one like me? I will go with this my plea. Jesus died for me. We'll omit verse 2, and we'll sing the other three verses, just remaining seated, verses 1, 3 and 4 of 283.